won't say a word about this one. I just needed to start all the other things. So I'm Linus Ross. I'm a sculptor from Holland, and I was asked to come here and to tell something about my work. My work has a lot to do with mathematics. I won't call it mathematical art, though, because it's more art about mathematics. I like to express my fascination about mathematics, mathematical structures, and mathematical transformations. The way I will do it today is like Escher did in his print Metamorphose. It gives me the possibility to start somewhere and to change from idea to idea using transformations. And so you will see that a lot of ideas have connections in some way or another. Saying the word connections, I have to think about one very important book written by Jay Capraff. He's in the back of the room. I had a lot of inspiration out of that book, so I want to say that. So let's start having a look at my version of Metamorphoses. First a print in which you can see the real version. This is in The Hague, in the post office, and in the middle you see Escher himself. So I thought it was a good idea to start with work of Escher also in my version. I decided to do something else with this work, so that's the first change I want to show you. And what I did is this. I took three Chinese men out of the drawing, and by cutting it in three parts and just putting the parts to the other side. We can do it again. So what you get by doing this is just another print of Escher, and I don't think Escher knew that. He knew that it was possible, but. It's a nice thing you can do if you know something about mathematics and mathematical transformations. Talking about tessellations, I think this is also an interesting example. This print is a very, very old print, a couple of thousand years old, but you can look at it at various ways. And well, first of all, of course, as a normal tessellation. But when you look a second time, you will see that there's a second interpretation of this. And that has a lot to do with, well, I have to use my mouse this way, with the curved lines you see. You can see this also as a part of a circle. And then the complete picture can be transformed into this one. And at that moment, we change from two-dimensional to three-dimensional. I can show you what I mean. So just a simple tiling where we started with is now a 3D construction. And also this can be looked at in several ways. Because, well, it's a set of rings, of course, but when we use color, then you see that there's a sort of substructure in the complete structure. Some of the rings can be seen as chains now. So when you call it a complete structure, it's in fact a set of eight chains. And starting with that concept, we can take three chains like this and add some other chains in other directions. And you will see it fits exactly to make this a nice structure. So taking apart structures or combining structures is also a favorite thing to do. Another example in that field is taking apart a sphere. made the dissection of a sphere in two equal parts, as you can see here, and it's nice to see it move. So try to make several parts out of one object, and also try to find nice partitions is something I like to do. This is a dissection of a cube in two equal parts, and it is based on a decoration of the outside of the cube. All the sides, all the faces of the cube have the same decoration, the same partition in three parts. And it's a little bit surprising that this leads to a dissection of the cube in two equal parts. But I will show you in a few slides how it comes apart. So the parts are complicated because you start with an object that has four different color layers, but it turns out to be just two pieces. Starting with decorations of a cube also led to this idea. I here started with the decoration of the face of the cube with four lines, and that brought me a dissection of the cube in certain parts, but in this case I went on and concentrating on the, just the outlines. So you can see here the outlines of the cube. And now the complete structure is transformed into a construction made out of 12 equal faces, so to say. In fact, these are the connecting faces between the parts I had first when I dissected the cube. And this is quite a stable construction. When you look at the outlines now, it started as a decoration of the cube, but I found this drawing of Buckminster Fuller, and also here you see that he does something with a decoration of the sphere in this case. So this line is a rotated line of an edge of the icosahedron. So by just rotating an edge of the icosahedron, you get another structure, and I can show that in the animation. So I start here with an octahedron, and I rotate the edges of the octahedron, and all the face, the pictures in between are very interesting, but it ends with the structure of the cube octahedron. So all the states in between are interesting, such as at itself, and I collected them in one piece. So this is complete transformation in just one single object. When we take such a step in between, then we get a construction like this. This is made out of 10 single parts. The basic structure is the dodecahedron. So this is one part, and it ends here. So each circle is split into two halves, and the 10 half circles can be combined in this way. There are more shapes you can make using this structure. So these are more cylindrical shapes, and this is another example. This is made out of 55 elements, and you just can mount it together to this complete structure. So in fact, what we use here is a structure in which all the elements has a certain position, but also a certain way of fitting in the structure, each element is connected to exactly four other elements, as you can see. One here, and one at the other end, and two in the middle. And when I take away a few parts of the elements, you can see that each element is in fact supported by two other elements, and it supports two other elements itself. And this is a stable construction. Going back to the cube, you can transform the object again to a decoration of the cube, and by just unfolding it, you get a view of the complete structure, and it can be transformed into a graph. This kind of graph is quite universal. Each line in the graph is connected to four other elements, and each point has a degree 3. And that's in fact a general definition of a structure that you can use in many different ways. Of course, the graph can be seen as just a tiling, but it's more interesting to go into the third dimension again, and then you see that the graph can be transformed into a dome. So also here, each element is connected to four other elements, two elements laying on the element, and the element itself lays on two other elements. So without any other construction things like glue or nails or rope, you can make a big dome just using this structure. Well, I was not the first who found this kind of structures. This is a drawing made by Leonardo da Vinci, and well, we found out that he really meant to build domes. So the text next to the drawing is translated, and he's really talking about making dome-shaped constructions. For me, it was a good reason to build some big ones. The poles of these domes are about 4 meters length, of length, and the total dome is about 12 meters in diameter.
Where is it?
It was in Friesland, in the north of Holland. It was there for about 5 years, and we've now taken it away. But we can make it at any place you want.
There's no connectors?
No connectors, and it can be built by just one person, in fact.
Really? It's impressive.
And how stable is it? If I slightly touch one of those logs, will it just fall apart?
It's very stable, and that's because of the weight. Each pole is about 80 kilos, so with 50 poles, gravity helps to make it a very stable construction. Well, that was also one of my problems. As a sculptor, I like to take my structures with me, my sculptures. And a dome like that, you have to build it in place, and that's the only way to show what you have made. So I tried to find another way to use the same kind of structures, like this. And by putting a second net over the first one, you've got in fact a possibility to transform the structure into a spherical structure using the octahedron as a step in between. And when you get then is a sphere like this. This is made out of 24 equal elements. And also in this one, no glue is used. It's just a loose construction. The idea can be applied on many polyhedra. This is the snap dodecahedron that gives me the possibility to draw the elements on the edges. and you then get this sphere built out of 30 equal elements. And this is an even bigger one. This is 1.5 meter in diameter, and it's built out of 90 elements. And just to prove that it's a loose construction, I made this little animation. So then it's very easy to take with you, but you have to build it up.
And we simply have the tree trunks of the dome be put together in any way, or just carved in that they cannot roll off?
It's a little bit carved in, but...
But there are no.
No, it wasn't really necessary to carve it in because the poles were rough enough to prevent them from gliding.
What you just made fall apart, can you put it together by one person?
Yes. It's a one thing again. I build this kind of constructions just on my own. So when making a design like this, you also have to design how to construct it. So you have to design your tricks, and that's what I did. So, oh, sorry. So once again.
If you just do it in reverse, we'll see you build it up.
Well, taking it apart is about 2 seconds, and building the structure is about 2 hours. So it's a little time difference. Looking at the grid of this structure, you will see that it's in fact the same structure as I used in the spheres. So one line is connected to four other lines. In this kind of patterns, you can speak of certain orientation. There's, well, an orientation in this direction. So that means that, I will discuss that later. You can transform any structure to another structure with the same properties. So when it's in this state, I also have lines, again connected with four other lines, and it's in fact a pattern of the same class. So here you see what happens when I do this on a dome-like structure. You go from one structure to the other, and they've got the same properties, so in both situations you've got a correct dome. There are more possibilities to transform these kind of structures. Here I split up each element in two, and you see that I end up in a structure of the same class again. Another way to transform this structure into another structure is to look at the dual structure. So when I connect each midpoint of each square in this situation with a line, then I get this other structure. And because these kind of structures are in fact graphs with all points degree 3, I always end up with a construction made out of only triangles. So when I want to study the possibilities of these structures, I can also concentrate on studying constructions with only triangles. And that was a very nice step. So this is a deltahedron. Well, you can take any deltahedron and you can project a dome-like structure on such a shape to build a sphere-like construction. Well, duality as such is a very interesting thing in mathematics, and when you look what you can do with it in art, you come to an example like this. This is just a part of a print from Escher, but it's nice to see how you can do this by folding a cubical structure. So now you end up with the combination of the octahedron and the cube, but because it's a combination of both polyhedra, you can unfold it as an octahedron again. So both shapes are combined in just one object. And there are more ways to use duality in this aspect. When I start with a dodecahedron like in this one, I can use this to make a plan for the dual figure, the icosahedron. So when I want to unfold the icosahedron in a nice way, say I want to unfold in a way that I've got just one strip of triangles, what I need then is just the Hamilton path of the dodecahedron. Because when I combine this Hamilton path of the dodecahedron with the dual, you will see that it gives me just the line I have to connect all the triangles to make a nice unfolding or folding, like you see here. So making an unfolding in just one single strip of triangles, you use the Hamilton path of the dual. And that's in fact a general trick you can use. I use it here for a more complicated object. This is the Kepler star. And also this one can be unfolded in just one single strip, as you can see here.
Do you know that it's not going to cross itself as you're
unfolding? No, it doesn't intersect.
How do you know that?
I think I was lucky. starting with some more complicated objects, you've got the risk that there are some intersections, but in most cases you don't have that problem. So for instance, when you've got this tetra helix, you can unfold it in several ways, like this, just one sheet of paper. But with the Hamilton path trick, you can also build it up in one strip, and you see that and on this closed figure, not only a Hamilton path, but also a Hamilton cycle is possible. And that means that the starting triangle and the end triangle will come together in the end. And the folding process then looks like this. So you see the starting triangle here. And now we fold first to the top. And then we go back. Come exactly the same figure. As I said, shapes made out of triangles are in fact the same as objects made out of elements like I used in the domes, because it's just the use of the dual. And the tetrahelix is here translated into a construction also built out of loose elements. It's just hanging between two trees, and it's stable as such. So a next step to research could be to make a donut shape with the elements, and then you need a triangulation of the donut, like I did here. But in fact, what you want is, what I wanted is to use triangles of the same, almost the same shape. And you see that what you get here is triangles that are much smaller than the triangles at the outside. So I tried to find a way to build a better triangulation of the donut. And I decided to investigate whether I could use the strip method again. So by using just a single strip of triangles and you fold it, you get a cylinder. And now by adding some more at certain points, I was able to bend the cylinder, and I hoped to get a donut out of it. But when you do that, it bends very nicely, but it doesn't come to the same spot again. So what you get in fact here is a spiral, but it's built out of all equilateral triangles. Going back for one moment to the basic grids that I use in a lot of constructions. This grid, you can build domes with it, and then you start like this, just four sticks, and then you can add sticks at each point, and you will see that the mid part will raise, and when I go on, you can make a complete dome. What you can say about these kind of constructions is that they are all planar. I use planar graphs, and also when I make it like a sphere or a cylinder, it's just planar constructions. I investigated whether it was possible to make non-planar constructions with the same idea. And also here I needed a mathematical transformation or a mathematical trick to reach what I wanted. What you see here is a sphere built out of 12 normal elements, but also here there's an orientation. So you can say that this is the orientation of the structure. And what I did to come to a non-planar solution is I added a second sphere in the middle, which has the opposite orientation. And in this situation, I could break up the elements and connect them in another way. And the final construction looked like this. So each element now has one half in the inner sphere and one half in the outer sphere. And in total, you've got 24 elements making a stable construction, but a non-planar one. Later on, I found a simpler way to do this. In this object, there are three elements going through the sphere. So also this cannot be represented by a planar graph. Another thing that I like to do is to see whether it was possible to make distortions in the structure. And what you see here is one way of making a distortion. So at the end, you still have a valid grid, which you can use to build domes or spheres. And when I project the structure on the icosahedron, I've got a design for a big sphere, and also this is made in wood. One other type of structures I studied is the slightly better structures. You see here a basic element of a bigger structure, and when I use more elements, I use these cutting lines to slide the elements together. And when I do this, this way, so this is the first step, and finally you get this complete structure. And for me it was a surprise that at the top of this circuit you can recognize the same grid as I used in the domes. And studying this a little bit more, you can see that the grid is laying on top of the construction, and of course also at the bottom of the construction, but both in an opposite orientation. It's better to be seen here. So in the total construction you use a left oriented grid and a right oriented grid, and they go from one to the other. You can say that this is well, a special kind of transformation, because to come from the one to the other, you use rotation, but now you, well, I call this tile rotation, because each tile is rotated with the midpoint staying in its own place. And what you get is this. So you rotate each tile, and the orientation changes from left turning to right turning. Later on I discovered that there were more ways to do the orientation switch, and well, starting with this grid, I can make this as the tiling. So here you see the structure. This element is again connected to four other elements, and now you see that I can use the line, so this line, to open up the construction. Well, in fact, if you look close at the line, you can see that it consists of four parts instead of just one line. It's this edge of this tile, it's this edge of this tile, here the third edge, and here the fourth edge of this tile. So in fact, what we've got is not one line, but a parallelogram. And a parallelogram can be changed in size like this. So now you use the parallelogram to change the orientation of the total grid. Well, this is one more example of the grid structure I found in the notebooks of Leonardo da Vinci. So besides the square grid, he also used the hexagon grid. He has found three different structures that could be used as domes. So I like to show also the hexagonal grid with the tile rotation in this case. So each tile is rotated in its own place, and you see that the orientation is changing from left to right. And when you remember the slide together structure, well, I found a way to transform the one into the other. So also for this, I now have the basic element and the total structure that could be slid together using just simple elements. And you recognize the pattern at the top. And this is just one more. In fact, the transformation of the second one. Now we're talking about slide together structures. This is another way to make nice slide together structures. Starting with, again, just the tiling. I've designed an element here this way. So it's, in fact, a dissection of the hexagon in three equal parts. But because I want to use the third dimension, I'm not that interested in this combination, but more in a combination like this. So you see that because of the shape of the elements, we've got a hole in one of the elements and two others go through the holes and that fits exactly. When you use 12 elements like this, you can make a total construction, and it's nice to see how it's done. So here you see the 12 elements apart, and by just sliding them together, they all fit together in one object. What you see here looks like a movie that shows how you can slide it together and slide it outwards again. Well, the last part of the step doesn't work. When you slip the 12 elements together, you've got a stable construction and you can't get it apart anymore. Well, I couldn't bring the example, but believe me, it's impossible to take it apart again. So it's a one-way construction. This is just a small variation. The element looks the same, but in this case, you need 5 to make a complete circle, and that means that you need 30 to make the complete construction. Complete construction can be made very easily. You can put all the elements together that they just that touch each other. And after that, you just have to shake the complete construction and just well, pops together. There's another way of making a slide construction of several elements, and I've made rather code. Prototyping models of this one, but also here, it's nice to see how they go together. So the star-like shapes touches like this, and it's a stable construction. And it becomes even more interesting when you start with a more complicated polyhedron. So in fact, you build a case out of 12 star-shaped elements. This is a simple dodecahedron. I'll just start here. What I do here is I make a stellation of the dodecahedron, and when you open this one up, you can see that the triangle with which you started is still under this construction. So when you make a stellation of a polyhedron, you make in fact a double layer structure. And when I open it up a little bit further, you can see that the construction is quite complicated. Because unless it's a double layer construction, it is only one single surface. You can walk from one point to every other point in the construction. So it's, because also a stellation is a polyhedron, you can go from any point on the construction to any other point. So it's one surface making this construction. And this can be done with any audio polyhedron, any polyhedron. This is a rhombic dodecahedron, making the stellation and making the cuts out. You end up like this. And well, I made this version out, from it to show how it can be taken apart. With the slide concession, I showed taking apart concession with just a translation. When you want to take this apart in a nice way, well, a translation, just a translation won't do it. You need a combination of movements, and in this case, it's a translation and a rotation. So it comes apart very nicely now. It's a similar construction actually used in his print. Also, this is a stellation, this stellation of a dodecahedron, and he also made the holes in it to be able to put the animals in it. But the construction as such is quite interesting. When we look close at the construction, well, I rounded off the corners a little bit to get a better view of what's happening, because there are a lot of holes in the construction. But when you when you try to find out what the shape of the holes is, it's better to round them off first. And now, when I zoom in a little bit, you can see that the shape of the hole is in fact the trefoil knot. And that's quite interesting. And let me go to the plane again. So the stellation process provides us a double layer structure. And when we open up the double layer structure, we make holes. We see that the holes are in fact knots, and so I decided to look what would happen if we, if I use the same process, the stellation process, on a structure like this, a plane structure. And to do that, I decided to put points in the middle of each tile, and when you start the stellation process, you enlarge each tile until the edges meet the other tiles. But now I combine it with another movement, and that is, I lower each midpoint of a tile and then enlarge the tiles. Well, it's better to show it. So you get this, and until the tiles meet at the edges. And now you've got a double layer construction in a plane. And again, when you open up the complete structure, you will see that you get knot shaped holes. So in fact, this looks like a double layer structure, two layers, entwined layers. But when I start a walk here, I can walk under here and on here. So this is the same surface as this one. So it looks like two separate layers, but it's one layer entwined by itself. And this is the total structure. And the nice thing of this structure is that the basic element is quite simple. So, in fact, this is the element that you use to make the construction, and to show how it's made. You need a lot of copies, of course. And when you start with six, you can group them together like this. But with a little rearrangement, I get groups of two. I can slide them together, and I end up with a knot structure. So here again, you see the knot in the middle as the hole of the construction. And when you add more of these particles, you get a complete double layered structure. Well, this was the rounded off version of the same structure. So opening up the structure by just making holes, you will see that the holes in fact are knots. And we get this structure. So this is the basic element, is the knot. You can recognize it very well. And so starting with the knot, I can make complete structures built out of knot by just connecting them like this, and I can make complete structures. Looking at this structure, I recognized another pattern, and that was just a layer with holes positioned in a hexagonal way. And a layer like this can be combined with more copies of itself, and when you take a third one, it's all entwined. Well, it's not really entwined, it's a Borromean entwinement. So my idea was to look whether this was also possible with the knotted structure, and indeed I can add a knot in the middle and complete the second structure, and now a third layer also fits in. Well, let's take a few layers away again, because there's one more thing I want to show with this structure, and that's this. You can use this structure to build a surface like a soap film, and then in that case you only use the lines as edges for the surface, as can be seen in this movie. So the surface is growing, and when going around the first time, you will see that the ends doesn't meet. You have to go around a second time, but it's still the same surface that is being enlarged here. And so you now see how the second layer of the same surface is made. Well, this trick allowed me to make a lot of beautiful objects. So this is a single surface structure. And there are many possibilities. This one is based on a drawing of Escher. I can transform it in a knot pattern. There's connected knots, and again I can make a surface on the edges of the knots. And also here you see that in the first time going around it doesn't meet. You have to go around a second time to close the construction. And this was the final result. A copy of that one is laying on the table, and I brought some more models. You can look at them afterwards. I will go to the to this series quickly to end my talk. Starting with any grid, you can make very easily a double layered structure, and also here the trick of the duality is very helpful to build new examples of the same situation. So just a couple of examples. So all of them are just one single surface. And, well, the spherical solution. So the older structures you've seen were now double layered, single surface. And, this one is three layers entwined to each other. And this one can be used to make a triple layered sphere like this. But also these kind of constructions can be made starting with the knots. And then you have to realize that when we start with a knot like this, and we draw a line from the midpoint outwards, we cross the line of knot two times. So that makes the double layer. And that's also the case with the fivefold knot. So it crosses two times, so we get two layers. So to reach a situation where we've got three layers, we have to start with a more complicated knot. And like this one here, this is the 8-3 polygon. And now you see that this line crosses the knot three times. And the final construction then looks like this. So this is a three layer single surface construction. And also that model is on the table. Now we end with this one. And this is based on a square grid. And like in SSprint, the start and the beginning are almost the same. So I decided to end with Azure, but now based on the square grid and going from birds to fishes, you get this last animation. Cool. Thank you for your attention.